Now, Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that he will extend safer at home guidelines with some modifications by more than a month to May 26th. While the move could potentially slow the spread of COVID-19 in the state, it angered some Republican lawmakers who say Wisconsin's economy is taking too big a hit. Across the country, other state governments are faced with a similar dilemma. At the federal level, President Trump has expressed a desire to states to start getting back into business by May 1st. He encouraged his supporters who have been protesting the extension of these safer-at-home orders, tweeting today, "Liberate" to several states. Vicki Beer is the director of the Center for Human Performance and Risk Analysis at the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Engineering and a professor of Industrial and Systems Engineering. She has also worked on pandemic preparedness. Vicki, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the big question people are weighing is how soon can we go back to normal? What steps are safe to go back to normal? When we're evaluating risks, what are the kind of things you think we should be weighing before we make these decisions?
Sure. One thing I would look at is that very likely the majority of states or cities, counties, are not going to make an all-or-nothing decision. It's not going to be come May 1 or May whatever the date is that suddenly we are totally back to normal the way we were 3 months ago. I think there are going to be a lot of gradual phases of opening up. So, for example, if you look at particular industries or economic sectors, there may be some that have relatively a high impact on GDP and not an enormous amount of person-to-person contact. So construction might be an example of that. And those might be some sectors that would be allowed to return to work earlier than others, parts of the manufacturing sector. I don't think, for example, that we're going to have, you know, big sporting stadiums full, you know, on June 1st, probably anywhere in the country. So,
what do you make of the different approaches taken by states? First of all, are there any states that you point to and say, yeah, they're probably getting it right about now?
So the state that has impressed me the most, actually, is Ohio. Governor Mike DeWine there has done, I think, a very good job, first of all, of being very early and proactive on some of the precautions. He also looks like he is taking a pretty careful and thoughtful approach to what parts of the economy can be reopened. Until just recently, Wisconsin had been following more or less right along in Ohio's footsteps, a day or two behind on most decisions. And I think the fact that Ohio is now looking at a partial reopening and Wisconsin is looking at, you know, a more extended, safer at home period with very little modification is kind of the first time I've seen a real discrepancy between the Wisconsin and Ohio approaches.
Is part of the reason for that maybe that, as you said, Ohio got ahead of it earlier, and by acting early, they bought themselves a little more flexibility now?
Well, they certainly did act early. I don't think I have looked closely enough to know whether their case numbers or rate of growth are dramatically less than Wisconsin's. I think, you know, the two states have been pretty similar in most respects. So I'm not sure exactly why they are taking different approaches right now. But
one thing that I've seen a lot of people saying is, okay, yes, we want to get back to something closer than normal. But one of the steps we need in place before we can do that is way more testing so that we can detect people who have the illness, maybe even people who have it without symptoms, and then have much more selective quarantines or lockdowns or whatever we call them, rather than this sort of everybody stays home as much as possible approach. How do we evaluate how much testing is enough testing to do that?
Okay. First of all, there is no magic number of enough testing. In general, more testing is probably almost always better than less testing. I don't think we're in a situation where we absolutely cannot move forward due to lack of testing. Certainly, we could move forward probably faster if we had more testing. One thing that I think people are not necessarily thinking about as much is the possibility of surveillance testing. That right now, if we're mainly testing people who are either sick or exposed, that's a pretty limited number of people. To ramp up to test everybody is obviously not practical right now, but we could probably do random sampling of, you know, maybe 1,000 people statewide or 1,000 people in each major metropolitan area or things like that to get just a sense of which areas have more and less viral load, so to speak, and which ones can maybe move a little faster if you find, you know, very, very few cases out of 1,000 random samples in one area and more cases in another area. That might allow for a more fine-tuned approach without overwhelming amounts of testing.
I know you've worked on pandemic response in the past. Are there things about this COVID-19 and the, you know, the virus that causes it that kind of caught us off guard here that didn't behave like we would like viruses to behave?
Yeah. Well, certainly the fact that there seems to be a lot of either asymptomatic spread or spread by people with very mild symptoms who have no reason to think that they're seriously ill, I think that has made the whole process of contact tracing and trying to stamp out the disease much, much more challenging, and also made testing, therefore, more important because it's more difficult to know who might be spreading it.
Vicki, earlier you gave us some ideas of the kinds of early steps we could take toward reopening certain types of businesses. What other kinds of things would you think of as our first steps in the next, I don't know, 2-3 weeks?
So I don't know what next steps Wisconsin is going to have in the near term because, again, the Safer at Home order was just extended. But one of the things people are thinking about is, first of all, that as businesses, restaurants, et cetera, do reopen, they will probably be at reduced capacity. For example, you know, half seating in the restaurant or maybe by appointment only at stores so that there's only a certain number of people there at any one time. Probably also bans on mass gatherings for quite a long period of time, you know, no more than 50 people probably could continue for quite a while until we have a vaccine or other better solutions.
And when you're talking about quite a long time, I've seen people say, you know, a year or many months at least till, knock on wood, we have a vaccine. Probably, it sounds like you're saying, as we wrap up, Vicki, we're going to need to be doing something for a lot longer even than this stay-at-home order.
Yeah, I think if the stay-at-home order is ended in, you know, end of May, that yes, we may still have a lot of changes in our lives for the next year or so. Just as one example, probably much less travel, you know, big conferences, things like that are likely to be canceled, postponed, or done virtually. So, yeah, I think there's going to be some long-term changes that the world is not going to go back to normal suddenly at the beginning of June.
Vicki, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Vicki Beer is the director of the Center for Human Performance and Risk Analysis at the UW-Madison College of Engineering and a professor of industrial and systems engineering. She has worked on pandemic preparedness. She joined us today to talk about how policy experts and lawmakers can weigh public health concerns and guidelines amid the COVID-19 outbreak versus reopening the economy. Support conversations like this with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.